Judgment Day. Direct hit. Get out. Lock sequence initiated.
Welcome to the Lock It Lit podcast. Episode 101. The one about the podcast. Here are your hosts, Rick and Mark.
Welcome to the Lock It Lit podcast. My name is Mark Johnson, and with me is...
Mr. Rick Taylor.
Hello, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Johnston. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good now that we got this semi-working, I think.
Yes. Luckily, I have not touched it today and broke anything, so right now it seems to work.
That's fantastic, I think.
Yes.
So we are from Beckley, West Virginia, and we decided to do a little podcast.
Yeah, for idiots by idiots.
Because we are idiots.
Well, he said it all right there.
I did. But we really couldn't find any podcasts that really spoke to us about collecting and repairing pinballs. Because we have no idea what we're doing. And we figure you people don't have any idea what you're doing either. So you can join us in our idiocy.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. J is not trying to say there aren't other good podcasts out there when it comes
to
pinballs.
There are lots of good podcasts out there.
But yeah,
you are correct.
Yeah, there's definitely not one for dummies, a.k.a.
No, there's not one for dummies. And that's where we come in. We fill the gap. And we're going to get lots of chicks.
I always set the bar high.
Well, it's good to set the bar high.
Yeah.
So anyways, what's been going on in your pin world today, Mr. Taylor?
Well, as you know, I've got this space station.
Yes.
Williams Space Station. Love it.
Love it.
Only had it for a couple weeks, but having some lighting issues on some of the GI. And I decided to try to troubleshoot it this evening. And
there's your first mistake.
Well, exactly, especially on a Saturday. I should have known better. But once I did a little bit of the troubleshooting, thinking maybe a connector, maybe either dirty or, I don't know, maybe something with the solder on the board, I'll have to check. I'm going to have the master, a.k.a. you, come over and take a look and make sure.
Uh-huh.
So... But, I mean, other than that, the Flash Gordon I've got, since we worked on the lighting issues on it, it's been playing really good. And then, of course, the Earthshaker, well, it still hates me ever since I brought pins in. So, and the Disco, well, she is what she is, banana flippers and all.
Yeah, but you got to keep the banana flippers on there.
Oh, yeah, they're not going anywhere.
No, these people just can't play. There's people that tell you to take them off.
Yeah. Well, it does give you a whole new meaning to pinball whenever you play with them and realize you can't aim with those. And then you go back to something else you can aim with and you think, oh, this isn't that bad.
That is true. Well, I have problems with my counterforce. As I told you earlier, I'm blowing fuses for the pot bumpers, and I don't know why.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it sucks because I had just fixed my Terminator that was rebooting whenever it felt like it. And got that fixed, and everything was working, and then that quit popping. So that sucks.
So you said you've got the T2, so it's completely alive again? It's not resetting the way...
As far as I know it is, I had it on for... Well, after I fixed it, I had it on for probably about an hour. And played a couple games, and it did fine. And today, I had it on for probably another hour, never had a reboot. And before I did the fix, it would reboot probably 4 or 5 times in the span of maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Which is not good.
No, it's not good, and I'm hoping that it's fixed. I did find a wire. What I did was I pulled the main MPU board out and resoldered all the header pins, which I thought that might have been the issue, but then I noticed, like I sent you the picture, there was a connector in the bottom of the cabinet.
Yeah.
And that's not good, so I think that that wire was just loose on the connector all along, and once I got that fixed, I think that took care of my problem, but I'm too afraid to call it right now because it'll probably mess up tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I wish some of mine were that obvious when it comes to the troubleshooting, because most of them are hit and miss. It's process of elimination, and sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't.
No, and what I found out is it's sometimes you get lucky and you find something obvious, and other times you beat your brains out and
exactly.
You eventually find it, but it's frustrating. There's nothing easy about owning pins.
No, once I remember when I first bought the first pin, thinking, well, you know, if, as long as I keep it working, it's good. And but of course, there's always other things you want to do to them. So you want to make them look better. At least I do. So I know you're the kind of the same way. So we are a little bit of freaks when it comes to the LED. So
we are, and we are going to have an episode on that, and not just the LEDs you buy from CoinTaker. Places like that. Those are cool, but we also do a lot with LED strips, and I really haven't heard any podcasts mentioning those. I mean, I don't think you have either.
No, and that's just it. A lot of people have to realize, I mean, not that nothing against CoinTakers at all, or some of these other sites that sell the strips or the kits that'll do that, but I mean, you can go to Amazon and get them, you know, for dirt cheap compared to some of the other prices. And it's not hard to do at all. Even I can do it.
Yeah, and that's saying something. Well, actually, no, you do pretty good. You do have a nice soldering station now, so that's a plus.
Yeah, well, you know, some people keep on me until, and now I got a nice wire stripper, so.
Yes, you need a good wire stripper.
That's a must.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, but the LED strips are nice, and we'll do an episode on those. I guess some of the other things we're going to probably do in future episodes, we're going to cover connector issues. That's a big, big deal. Pain in the butt, but almost all the problems some way or another lead back to connectors, it seems.
Yep. We found that out the easy way, a.k.a. the Earthshaker. So.
Yeah, and the Earthshaker is going to be an episode all on its own, maybe a two-parter, because that one was a... it was a good find, but it was headed for the landfill. It was in rough shape.
Yes, sir.
And now she's a beauty.
Oh, yeah.
She hates us, but she's a beauty.
Yes, she does. She hates me. A scorned lover.
Scorned lover. Well, yeah. They're all like that.
That's true.
But, yeah, we're also going to do... I'd like to do an episode on acid damage. That's a big, big deal, too, especially with, well, pretty much any pin you find. And there's other stuff too. I mean, you can we'll do an episode on how to clean and wax your playfield with Novus. We use Novus like crazy. Works really well for playfields, plastics, and I guess pretty much anything.
Yep. It'll do it'll make some of the dirtiest ones look just brand new. So
yeah.
Really impressed with it.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. And we'll also probably do an episode just the general thing on where to buy pins, different places you can look for them, Craigslist, eBay. Sometimes you just hear about it word of mouth. We'll tell you what to look for if you're looking to buy a pin. General things like that. That's hopefully what we're going to do in the future episodes.
Yeah, that is if you know anyone else listens to this besides just you and me.
Right, if we don't get canceled, you know. We'll do all that and more.
Yeah.
Aim for the stars. Yes. So now it's time for the feedback section. Do we have any feedback, Rick?
Let me check here.
All right.
No, not right now.
This is the first episode, so I guess that's okay.
Yeah. I have feedback, but it has nothing to do with pinballs or podcast.
So. Ah, well, that's fantastic.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Be a pinball champ, boy. This is Pinball Champ, not a toy. It's a big new game, stands right on the floor with 15 different ways to score. Bells ring, lights flash. Pinball Champ, it's a smash. Balls fly through the action track. Hit those flippers, send it back. Bonus bumper keeps it moving. Keep it up, you're really grooving. Bells ring, lights flash. Pinball Champ, it's a gas. It's got the guts, it's really built. It's real pinball, it'll even tilt. Get the family game that's full-sized fun. It's big enough for everyone. From Coleco.
And we're back. It's just that simple.
Well, you know, simple things for simple minds, so.
And that is our demographic right there.
Yep. Geographical oddity. 2 weeks from everywhere.
There you go. So anyways, let's talk a little bit about our history with pins and kind of where we started out. Because we haven't been doing it long. It's probably been a couple years, maybe.
Well, it hasn't it hasn't been that long for me. You kind of gave me the bug whenever you first got your first find with the Airborne Avengers, and it wasn't long after that. I think I bought my first pin the middle of the summer last year, 2013. So,
right, and that was the Disco Fever.
That was. It was a very good find. It was in really good shape. Didn't have much wrong at all.
No.
And it's still a beautiful pin.
Yeah, I think when you got that, it would turn on and power up, but you couldn't start a game. Is that correct? I forget.
Yeah, I remember something in the pop bumper assembly was causing it to blow. I can't remember. Was it a transistor, resistor? I can't remember what it was either. It's been too long.
I think, well, there was the issue with that 40-pin connector on there.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a thing all of itself. We'll go into that later, but there was that, and I think you had a coil that had blew a transistor or something.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But it wasn't much to it, I mean, after we figured it out.
No, and I mean, I picked that up for, for $250, and now you look at it, and I swear you'd think, oh gosh, you paid $800 to $1,000 for it. It's just in really good shape. Only bad thing is the back glass.
Well, so. Yeah, and that's another thing, too. It's almost impossible to find a pin with a perfect back glass. You're just not going to do it.
No, not unless you get really lucky or you got a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, you can get back glasses, but like we found out, they're few and far between and they're not cheap.
No. Yeah, I found one on eBay. What was it? It was around $425. It was the new old stock, had never been used.
But yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was crazy money for me to spend. Because, I mean, there's not a lot wrong with the one I've got. It's just got a few cracks.
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah.
It looks a lot better than some of the other ones I've seen.
Yeah.
A.K.A. my Dracula that I had for a short time.
Yeah. Well, now, before you get to the Dracula, you got to tell everybody about the Airborne Avenger, because that's kind of the thing that got all this started, at least, you know, in my opinion.
Well, it is. But actually, if you really want to go back, the first pen I ever owned was back probably in 1996 or 97. There was an ad in the local trading journal, and this woman said she had a arcade game. Come pick it up. It was free. So I got my dad's truck, and we went to get it, and it was a Circus, which was a horrible game, but it actually worked. It just didn't have any sound. And while we were there picking this up, she said, oh, there's a pinball machine in the basement. So I thought, well, that'd be interesting. So we go down to the basement, and there's this pinball machine, and her basement was like a dirt floor basement. And it was just sitting there, and it had probably an inch of dirt and just everything on it.
Hmm.
And she said, if you want that, you can take it. I don't think it works. And it was a Chicago Coin gold record. And at the time, I didn't know anything about pinballs, but I took it, and we had to carry that thing up steps.
You always have to carry them up steps.
You always have to carry them up steps. But I wasn't even sure then. I'd never had one, so I didn't take the back box off because I didn't know that came off. But I did, I think, take the legs off, so that was something. But it was a beast, and we finally got it home, and I cleaned it up, and it was an EM machine.
Ooh, yeah.
And those things are just, I mean, there's a lot of people that love them. We have a friend, a mutual friend, that he loves them to death. But man, I got that thing home and I just started cleaning. That's really all you can do is clean the switches. And I got it working. I mean, it worked fine after I got done with it. But that was my first one. And I actually sold that one probably about a year or so after I got it. But fast forward to now, my first pin recently was that Atari Airborne Avenger.
Yeah, which was a very nice pin.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And that was actually, I don't know if that wasn't a Craigslist ad. There was a guy on Facebook that had posted that he had an Atari pin. And he was trying to get some help in trying to get it to work because it was not working. And some people had tried to help him, but this guy, I gathered he didn't really know too much about it, and he didn't really want to get into it, so he just posted, you know, first $100 takes it. And so I think I messaged him back maybe 3 minutes after he posted that. I was at work and told him I would take it, and as luck would have it, he was here in Beckley and about 5 minutes from where our work was at. And so I go and pick it up, and it was just beautiful. I mean, the back glass had no scratches, no flaking, no nothing. The play field was perfect, nowhere. It looked like it had been played maybe 20 sometimes, if even that.
Well, that's because it was kind of boring.
Yeah. It's one thing about Atari pins, and I may do an episode on those, but most of the time you'll find them and they look really good, and you'll think, wow, this is an oddity that it looks this good. And the reason why it looks that good is because they generally broke down a lot, mm-hmm. and they were slow, and they were kind of boring. They're beautiful pins, but they're just not, you know, as exciting as some of the other ones.
And you found out, there's no parts for them.
There's no parts. I got that thing home, and I didn't know anything about pins, and I was in over my head. And it would turn on. I think it would turn on, and the back box would light up, but that was it. There was no lights on the playfield, no nothing. And I quickly found out that the Atari pins are built different than any other pin company out there. And what I eventually ended up doing, I found at the time there was only two guys that I was able to find. One guy was in Canada, and one guy I think is in Texas that will repair the boards and all that, and they have some parts. And so I contacted him, and he said, well, ship me the board, and I'll ship you a working board. So I did that, and after that, it worked fine. I had to replace some bulbs. You always have to replace bulbs.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. So I did that, and I bought new rubber for it, and it played fine. I told them I just recently traded it a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, for this Counterforce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, everybody out there, don't take me wrong. I wasn't dissing the Atari pins because it was an unbelievable pin. But because that was a wide body, it was just, you know, it wasn't that it wasn't fun, but it was slow.
It
really slow at some points.
That was the thing about it. I didn't, and I don't think you did either. Neither one of us realized how slow it was until we got, you know, our second pins and started playing more pins.
Yep.
And you realize, wow, you wait a long time for the ball to hit something. And it was just, after I got my other pins, it just never got played.
Yep.
And it was rare. They only made 250 of those. And the cool thing was, it was the first pin designed by Steve Ritchie. And of course, he went on to do Black Knight and Terminator and a bunch of other ones. But it was just boring. And they're really hard to sell. I had tried to trade it to another guy, and he was put off. He loved it, but he was put off because it was so rare, and he was worried about getting parts, and the same things I had worries about. So,
yeah, and but that thing was a beast to move.
It was. It was heavy. It was one of the heavier pins that we've ever moved, I guess.
Yeah. What was it you said the other day? It was like 29 inches wide.
29 inches wide, and I think a normal pin is what, 26?
No, 22, I think.
22, yeah, so it was wide. Mistaken.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I'll never forget that night. You called me or texted me and said, hey, can you help me come and load a pin? And I was like, oh, okay, this will be interesting. And oh my gosh, I got over there and I was like, wow, this sucker's heavy.
You didn't realize, of course, what you were getting into, did you?
Oh, well, it wasn't anything, you know, but it at least we didn't have to go up any steps or anything like that with it, because that would be a beast to do.
Yeah, we don't like steps.
No.
There's always steps.
There is when it comes to the good stuff.
Yes, because nobody else wants to move them. That's why.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, see, you know, you're talking about, you know, your first pen and all that, and I was sitting here racking my brain before we did this, you know, yesterday and even today. When I grew up, I mean, I played pinball machines. I can't remember any of them that any made a mark on me. You know, it was more video arcade games, a.k.a. Well, the Star Wars, Donkey Kong, Ms. Pac-Man, that made the impact.
Yeah, so. Well, I was the same way. I mean, there was pins in the arcades, but I didn't play them. But the only one I remember playing a lot, and you're going to laugh at this, but it was Bad Cats.
And really?
Yeah, there was one at the Aladdin's Castle in Mercer Mall. And I would go there, and I don't know how many dollars I spent in that thing.
Wow.
And I don't know, you know, we played that one recently down in Lynchburg.
Yeah.
And funny that playing it, I don't remember much about the play field, but back then I played the dickens out of it.
Well, that's the reason, even though I love pinball, that's one reason I didn't play it a lot was because it seemingly sucked the quarters out of your hands really quick.
It does, and especially
if you don't know the game and you walk up to it and you put a quarter or 50 cents or even a dollar in, next thing you know, you're going to put another one in because you're just learning how to play it.
Right, and that's the thing about pinball. I mean, you look at them from the outside and your object is just to keep the ball alive, but then you start playing them and you realize you have all these different goals you have to hit and every table is different. And you know, if you really play them, there's lots of different things you can do, but they do suck the quarters down until you figure that out.
Yep. And I mean, I'll never, you know, it still blows my mind the fact that I've got four of them sitting behind me right now because, I mean, I loved it. I just never did have the cash to where I could just go and continue to pump tokens or quarters into them right. To continue playing them. And so, you know, I mean, when my wife and I got married, she had a demolition derby, and it was way before I ever knew you. And
right.
That thing went by the wayside, and I mean, that was a home use pin. To me, it wasn't really a pin; it was just a cheap way to make a pin, you know.
Right.
So these things that came out that have been on site by an operator, they're the ones that are built to last a whole lot more than a home use one.
Right.
And so, I mean, the Earthshaker proved that by sitting out in the rain and the cold and Lord knows what else. And yeah, still.
The Earthshaker was under a carport for I don't know how many months.
Yeah, we have no idea.
We have no idea. I mean, I think the woman told us that it was out there a couple months, if even that. But, I mean, it was in rough shape.
Yeah, and I mean, heck, to be honest with you, when I first wandered onto it, I had no idea what I'd wandered onto because there's so many pins out here. I mean, they've been making them for forever, and so ones that you think you know all of them, and then all of a sudden you run across another one, and you think, well, never heard of that, so it's probably not too good. But then you go and you look it up on IPDB.org, and you're like, right. Oh my God, it's in the top 15 or it's in the top 25.
Yep.
And once Earthshaker came back to life, I mean, I'm not, you know, hopefully she can hear me over there, but that's still my favorite pin I got, so.
Well, it's mine, too, of yours, because it spent so much time at my place over here.
Yeah.
In the repair bay, as we, service bay number one.
Yeah, for anybody out there that don't know Mark and I, you know, I'm kind of his apprentice. I'm still learning a lot of this stuff whenever it comes to the troubleshooting and all that. I don't mind getting my hands dirty, but at the same time, I'm also the first one to push him in front of me if it comes to electricity.
And that is true.
And we have had that happen.
Yeah, just recently I think we had a nice little sparky incident with the Flash Gordon. Yeah. But we don't need to talk about that.
No, we don't want to talk about anything.
Because we are professionals.
Idiots. Professional idiots.
Professional idiots. Well, and that's one thing about pin ownership is that you have to be willing to get your hands dirty and be willing to solder here and there and do a lot of stuff. I mean, I don't think you could ever hope to even own a pin and not do any type of maintenance on it or repair.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Even if they're working 100%, sooner or later, something's going to break, something's going to go out of adjustment, and you just have to get in there and do it.
And that's just it. I mean, that's like, you know, this Flash Gordon is the first pin that I've had that hasn't been Williams' pin.
Right.
And, you know, I don't care for some of the things that Bally did with it as opposed to what Williams did with theirs, but it's the way they are. You know, each company made it a different way, and they all, they maybe one had something right that you liked on it better, but then you go back to something else and you hate it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not gonna beat around the bush. I am pro Williams when it comes to the pinball. So
yeah, I agree. I mean, I had that I had that Dracula, and it was a Stern.
Yep.
But it was basically a Bally because it used, you know, the Bally parts.
Yep.
And it's the same way as your Flash Gordon. I mean, some of the stuff trying to get to the bulbs and just the way it's made was just a pain in the butt.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just it. I was thinking about LED and the Flash Gordon, and I mean, I've had such a hard time getting the regular GI to work on some of those sockets that I'm not even sure I'm going to spend the money on it now.
Yeah.
So, because it'll be hard to everything's soldered to the bottom of the playfield. So
yeah.
And there's just no way to get it in and out easily. Whereas if you go to a Williams pin, even the Disco Fever, which is older than the Flash Gordon, you had a nut, or
yeah,
that you could just take a nut driver and pull out the socket and change the bulb. And,
yep,
you know, so again, it's personal preference. You know, we've run across quite a few people, and some people are diehard Data East, some are Stern, some are Bally, and then, of course, the ones that really know what they're talking about are Williams. But
that's but, true.
But, you know, that it's personal preference, and that's what I prefer. But anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that counterforce, the Gottlieb, it's the same way under the playfield. You have all your sockets, but you have to basically unsolder, you know, the socket to get it off the bottom of the playfield because you have that grounding wire that goes, you know, to everything under the playfield.
Yep.
And unlike the Williams, where you have the actual individual wires and you can just, you know, unscrew the socket and put a new one in if you want to or whatever, it's just a lot easier.
That counterforce, though, it is a beautiful pin. I mean, I was really impressed with it when I came over and played it the other day. So, because, I mean, you know, it's a wide body. It's not as wide as the Atari, but it seemingly didn't keep you continuously waiting on the ball. It seemed to be fast enough to continue to keep your attention.
Yeah, I mean, it's got four flippers, and the top two are kind of staggered. But it plays, I mean, you don't really wait on the ball much. I like it. I mean, I was surprised as well after I got it here and, you know, played it more. The more I play it, the more I like it. But
yeah,
it's a good pin, even if it is a Gottlieb. But that's another thing about Gottlieb is you can't find much information on Gottlieb because the trademark is owned by somebody that doesn't want to give you free manuals and yada, yada, yada.
Well, you know, it's all about making money.
It is, and I'll probably end up paying $20 for the manual because I can't find it anywhere. So unlike, you know, every other pen manufacturer, you go to ipdb.org, and
yep,
there's your manual and anything else you want to know.
Yeah.
Not Gottlieb.
Nope. That's another strike against the roller disco I was thinking about, so...
Yeah, and by the way, if anybody has a roller disco, Rick has a beautiful play field. He just
brand
needs to rest.
Yeah,
he needs everything else.
Yeah, I picked that up at a warehouse raid and was just sitting there, and I remember paying. It was under what, $30 or something like that. I can't remember, but
it wasn't much. Yeah, I think it was 30.
It was not much, and I mean, if you look at this thing, I don't even think anyone ever played it. I think it was maybe new old stock. It's still got, it's complete, you know, from the top to the bottom. It just needs a cabinet and a back glass and all the boards.
Yeah, just minor stuff.
Yeah, just minor. But if anyone's interested in that, give me an email, shoot me an email, and you know, you can always swing by and or I can send you pictures of it. It's in unbelievably good shape. So.
And you can email rick@lockislitpodcast.com.
That's right. Thank you. That's a good plug. Man, that was great.
It is a good plug. You can email me at mark@lockagelitpodcast.com.
That's right. And for all you guys out there that are going to be looking for me on the Facebook, not going to happen.
Not going to find him.
No.
He's holding out.
Yeah, I'm still thinking. It's been 10 years. I think I'll wait another 10 before I get on it. I think they're going down.
they may indeed go down. And it doesn't really matter because we will have the Lock Is Lit podcast on Facebook. Okay. So I guess I'll be monitoring that since you probably will not.
Well, just everyone talk. I guess you can talk as bad as you want about me. I mean, it's not like it hasn't happened before.
Right. Because he'll never see it.
Yeah, a.k.a. Gene. Shout out to Gene. Yeah.
And I'll just tell him that, everybody loves you.
Yeah.
So many comments about how great the show is and about how much they love you.
Yes. Just make sure the co-host is actually the one that's going to have to branch out and start his own podcast.
Yeah. You might have to go solo.
No, you can't do
please,
that.
Please go solo.
Oh, don't worry. I have somebody that could take my place.
Anyways.
Moving on, huh?
Moving on. So that's basically what we are all about and kind of how this podcast is going to go, for better or worse.
And don't forget to mention the Ohio Pinball Show.
Yeah, I was getting to that. There's a Ohio Pinball Show in Cuyahoga Falls, I guess it is, Ohio. And that's February 27th, 28th, and March 1st, and we're going to be going to that, I hope.
Oh, yeah. As long as the weather holds out, we're going.
Yeah. Well, even if it doesn't, we're still going.
That's true.
I have all-wheel drive.
Yeah, and Lord knows I've got brand new rear differential fluid, so I can make it in my truck. So.
There, yes, you can. And you got a new serpentine belt.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so if anybody's going to go, you can always send us an email. Maybe we can meet up with you. We always like meeting new people that especially love the pinball. So we can. I don't necessarily classify myself as a pinhead, but I guess it wouldn't hurt my feelings if you called me that.
You are totally a pinhead.
Well, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
Now you're getting off subject.
I am. I'm sorry. But the website for that is ohiopinballshow.com, and I will have that in the show notes so everybody can just click.
Or go on Facebook. I'm sure he'll have it there, too.
I'll have it on Facebook. We will be. We'll have a Facebook and also a Twitter, believe it or not.
I love the tweets.
You will be handling the Twitter.
Oh, that's right. I love Twitter. Tweet.
Yes. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this initial show for the Lock Is Lit podcast.
Yeah.
We hope we didn't screw it up too bad. It's the first.
Well, maybe next time we'll have feedback if we did. So.
Feedback is good. Please let us know anything. As long as it's not too hateful. Because I will close this podcast down. With it.
It's not going to be long.
We might get episode 2, but I'm doubting it.
You're not kidding.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up. Until next time, we will talk to you guys later.
Yeah, everyone have a good one, and hope to see you at the pinball show, HawaiiPinballShow.com. Have a good one.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.